When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now they're set. Ferguson, the long snapper. Bailey, the holder. Sanders will swing that right leg. Hold is down, kick is up. And perfect. The Miami Dolphins have won this football game 20-17 over the Jaguars.
What a comeback. What a comeback for the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins radio, and what odd circumstances for that Dolphins win. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. There's so much to get to from yesterday and from Saturday. The Cowboys' big win, the Steelers' win, both Justin Fields, the Raiders with a disappointing debut, Perloff, but no one had an odder ride to the stadium than Tyreek Hill, who ends up getting a traffic violation but got detained, handcuffed, according to Ian Rappaport, thrown to the ground, and cops got like a knee in his spine. Calais Campbell, his teammate, who's like one known to be like one of the good guys in NFL, Calais Campbell, he comes over to try to help out. He gets put in handcuffs. It was an all-around chaotic day, and then the game happened, and that was just kind of ugly. But the Miami Dolphins end up winning 20-17.
Yeah, and Hill has a huge play in that game.
Massive.
So this is amazing to me, too, as someone who's from Philadelphia. What an Eagle would have to do to get stopped and arrested in the shadow of Lincoln Field. Unless you had the body and the smoking gun on the Eagles player, they would be police escorted into the stadium. Same in Green Bay. Same in any football town. Miami's such a weird place. Who knows what? Listen, we don't know what Tyreek Hill was doing. Maybe right. The police will tell the other side of the story. But I think the police sent a very, very clear message by putting this cop on administrative leave.
Immediately.
Even in the Scottie Scheffler incident, they didn't do anything like that. That's this true. Was a very clear message that somebody overreacted, which obviously, as Tyreek Hill said after the game, happens a lot. This is not a good look for the police.
No, it's not. But, you know, Travis is here in our chat. If you want to watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray. Hill's other off-field issues are going to come into play here, for better or for worse. Like, that's the one thing about Tyreek Hill. He may have been totally in the right here, but he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt until we learn more about what's going on, right? Like, I want more details because Hill has been a wild card, and that's putting it mildly. I mean, he's had domestic violence stuff in his past. He had this weird incident with a guy who was doing a boat rental a couple of Father's Days ago that he got into an altercation with, that got basically paid to go away. Tyreek Hill isn't exactly like Mr. Good Guy off the field. So again, I'm not trying to blame him. This is not a what was she wearing type of thing. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that he's gotten into stuff before. I'd like to hear the whole story. I don't know if we'll ever get it.
Yeah, I don't feel like that all that is relevant necessarily, because I mean, you're right. Of course we have to hear the whole story, and there's a lot more reporting. Yeah, Jeff Darlington, get to work, buddy. You're going to have to do this.
All of a sudden, Mr. Courts and Cops, Jeff Darlington was there. Scottie Scheffler, and now this.
We'll see what happens, but the cops don't know any of that backstory in that moment, so I'm not sure it's relevant.
Well, it's pretty public, though. Here's what I'm saying.
No. I mean, the boat story, I remember that vaguely. And a domestic violence charge, while incredibly serious, that has no relevance to a traffic stop.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's like, Tyreek, I'd like to know what was going on. Now, listen, you're right. They put the cop on administrative leave. So that kind of tells you what they might think about this particular officer, and that maybe this person was stepped out of line, or they had a little bit too much, a little power hungry, or whatever happened. But I would just like to know, and I don't know if we ever will, because Tyreek Hill said after the game, very poignantly, did say, you know, if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, how could this have ended? Which is definitely a fair thing to wonder. But at the same, oh, we have the sound of that. Let's hear Tyreek Hill after the game.
Right now, I'm still trying to put it all together. So I'm not going to give you a version that I still don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? But I do want to say, I do want to be able to use this platform to say, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill, bro? Like, worst case scenario, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, unfortunately, we have seen this play out. But at the same time, like, is it wrong for me to want to know everything that happened?
No, I mean, it is weird also to have Tyreek Hill on a moral high ground here. But that being said, the guy is in, what, it was a Lamborghini or it was some kind of fancy car. I saw
it looked
the video.
Like the DeLorean or something, yeah. Like a fancier version of the Back to the Future car.
So maybe he was speeding, maybe he was recklessly driving. But I do think the circumstance, I mean, come on, dude. I mean, you had to know, he probably got out of the car and said, I'm Tyreek Hill. And the cop knows who he is and the game is about to happen here. The circumstances seem like an odd situation to have him face down on the ground like that. He obviously was, I'm a player going to the game. Like, it reminds me a little of the Scottie Scheffler thing. Like, that cop was insane in the Scottie Scheffler incident. Even if he did get dragged to the ground, to cuff him and have him in an orange jumpsuit in the station was obviously, as you look back on it, was one of the stupidest set of police moves you'll ever see.
Right.
I have a feeling this is headed in that direction. But you are right. There has to be more reporting.
Well, I guess, like, the thing is, you want to ask yourself, is the police officer escalating the situation or de-escalating the situation? Is Tyreek Hill escalating the situation or de-escalating? Because you're right. For him to end up face down in handcuffs on the ground, something must have happened. It's not you run a red light or you run a stop sign and all of a sudden you're getting dragged out of the car.
And why is Calais Campbell in handcuffs?
I have no idea why Calais Campbell is in handcuffs. I mean, this is somebody who, did he come over? He's trying to intervene. Yeah. Also, who's the team of people who got Calais Campbell in handcuffs? That guy's the biggest dude on the field. Delta pointing on the chat, I may have said administrative leave. The cop was put on administrative duty. So desk duty, not administrative leave.
Okay. Anyway. What does administrative leave mean? Whoa. Whatever.
Yeah, EJ, you were in news for a long time. Enlighten us here.
Yeah, so fortunately covered a lot of incidents like that. So administrative leave basically means they put you on desk duty, like Maggie said. You're not going out in the field. Sometime they take your gun away. I'm not sure if this is one of those incidents, but essentially they're saying you got to sit here, buddy. You're going to be on timeout until we figure out what the hell happened.
Can we hear a little more from Tyreek Hill? Thank you, EJ. Can we hear a little more from Tyreek Hill? Can I hear cut six, please, Nick, that he has no idea why he was put in handcuffs and he was not being disrespectful?
I have no idea, for real. No idea. No idea, man. It's crazy. No idea. I wasn't disrespectful, you know, because my mom didn't raise me that way. Didn't cuss. Didn't do none of that. So, like I said, I'm still trying to figure it out, man.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, the fact that it would escalate to this point, if he's being, you know, again, I'm not trying to blame him. I'm just saying I'd like to know what's going on here and how did it get to this level where, again, if he's being totally respectful and the cop just drags him out of the car?
Oh, no.
Throws him to the ground? I mean, listen, we've seen this happen, but I hate to do this. And Tyreek Hill even said it. With famous people, it doesn't. Except for Scottie Scheffler, I guess. But with famous people, you don't generally see this kind of thing.
I mean, okay, this is not an excuse, but the guy who's obviously going to the game, isn't there? He's a representative of the community by wearing that Miami Dolphins jersey. I mean, there's tons of taxpayer dollars that go into presenting that team. It's just kind of weird. And I've been to that stadium. I don't know. It's just the whole thing is like, what's going on here? It's like the cops who are by the stadium. How do you let that escalate to that point? Unless,
great question.
Again, we don't know, so we're in a dangerous speculation area. But once again, a guy who just shrugs off an arrest and goes out there and balls out, kind of like Scottie Scheffler did. Like, obviously wasn't super distracted. I know Miami started off really slow.
I would say the first half it looked like they were, but that's just the first half of the season.
Yeah, but not necessarily. Like, Tyreek Hill looked fine. I think he had, I don't know how he did in the first half, but he obviously ended up with over 100 yards, big game, huge play. Didn't take him out of the game, so we'll see where this goes. I think the police are going to end up looking kind of bad here, but thank God no one hurt.
No, nobody heard. And Tyreek Hill is saying, I want to be a cop one day and I'm going to use this as a learning experience. Like, I don't know. There's just something about, maybe because we just know too much about Tyreek Hill's history, it's just hard for me to give him the full benefit of the doubt here. Maybe that's wrong of me. Did you hear, moving away from that part of the story to what we saw on the field, did you see that Tua apparently gave an impassioned speech at halftime, getting in people's faces and really pumping everybody up? So apparently $200 million not only gets you a quarterback, but also gets you a big rah-rah halftime speech.
There you go.
They needed it.
I mean, Travis Etienne handed them a win.
That is also true.
by the way, there were three. The win probability was like 98% for the Jags. They had to creatively find a way to blow that game.
Yeah, that was gut-wrenching. Like, if you're sick if you're a Jags fan that you lost that game where you were leading throughout.
And you finally got your 2 feet in the end zone. Remember last year, there's videos where I think like 15 touchdowns were on the end line of the end zone. They had two touchdowns where they actually got the ball and everything was looking good. They had that win. 17-7, punching in for the score to go up 24-7, seal the game,
and
fumble, Miami wins. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know really what I think of Miami after that game. They were sluggish. Their defense played pretty well, but
Jalen Ramsey tweaked a hamstring.
Yeah, I don't know if they're elite. I'm not crazy. And Jalen Ramsey got torched by that rookie on the Jags a couple times.
Brian Thomas Jr. Is the silver lining. That's what I was going to say to Jags fans. If you're feeling bad, you're feeling down today, I get it, because you should have walked out of there with a win, but that guy is good. I mean, we didn't see anything from Marvin Harrison yesterday. We saw a little from Malik Nabers, but it looks like the Giants are going to be pretty bad. But Brian Thomas, that guy is awesome. Now he's playing
definitely
with an awesome quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, or a very good quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, but his line on the day, 4 catches for 47 yards, but the touchdown was impressive.
Yeah, he got a big PI too, so he looks good. Your guy Keon Coleman, another rookie receiver, looked pretty good. Obviously, Xavier Worthy, it feels like a year ago, was good on Thursday night, so the receiver class would be okay. Poor Malik Nabers. He could be the best of the group, but we'll never know who Daniel Jones throwing him the ball.
We're not going to know this year. Maybe they can figure out something with the Giants and tank and get a high pick and get a better quarterback. EJ, I'm sorry, did you want to say something else about Tyreek Hill?
Well, no, actually more on the Dolphins, because Perloff was mentioning about how there was essentially, it's kind of hard to kind of say what do you take away from this game. Because there's a part where you look at this and say, hey, this is kind of what you want to see from the Dolphins, right? Like, everyone thinks they have a glass jaw. You had Poyer before the season saying, oh, you just punch him in the mouth, and then, you know, they fumble. He's on the team now.
Yeah.
So I think there was perhaps an expectation that with all that happened before the game, the Dolphins would fold, which is kind of what they did in the first half. So on the one hand, to see them come back and see them show some moxie was good, but we've seen them do this in September. Like, they've had that big comeback against the Ravens a couple years ago. Like, they had a big game against the Bills a couple years ago at home. Like, they're able to have these tough kind of heavyweight fight kind of wins early in the season. But once that temperature hits below 50, that's when they crumble. So I almost feel like regardless of how good or how tough they look early in the season, if it's not happening in December, I just don't know if it really matters for this team.
AFC East might be a little more interesting than we even thought. If the Jets can win tonight, that means the entire division would start off 1-0. And I think, honestly, the big takeaway, you're right, EJ, they always look good in the beginning of the year. Tyreek Hill, 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown, and Waddle, 5 catches for 109. I mean, they're good. These two guys.
Look at that. Look at the health report on defense. That's what constantly worries me. It's not just the cold weather. It's like they wear down and they have all these older, expensive, injury-prone players. So that's what concerns me. And by the way, they beat the Jags at home. Let's not act like they're headed towards a 14-3 season.
I get it. Again, you're welcome to weigh in on Tyreek Hill, 855-212-4227. Not just him. Calais Campbell also put in handcuffs. Bizarre story. Totally bizarre. I mean, how does it get to the point? How does it escalate? We asked this question with Scottie Scheffler. How does it escalate to the point where the person is in handcuffs laying on the ground just a few hours before the game?
I don't know. I want to hear more.
I know. 855-212-4227. Don't worry. Drew Rosenhaus is launching an investigation. Go get him, Drew. The agent for Tyreek Hill. He's launching an investigation. Okay. Glad to hear it.
You're not a Drew Rosenhaus fan?
It's not that I'm not a fan. I just think it's funny when the agent's like, and I'm launching an investigation. It's like,
I can't believe
into the cops in Miami. Like, do you even have, can you even authorize that?
Actually, probably. Drew Rosenhaus in Miami. Yeah.
Pretty powerful guy.
I think he's had a few interactions with the police down there going back many years.
Yep.
He was on TV literally 16 minutes after this happened. Amazing.
He was on every network.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what happened? And no one will tell you what happened. The agent won't say it, and Tyreek Hill won't say it. It's like, if the cop was so in the wrong, which clearly they were, if the guy's getting put on administrative duty and all of that, like, they're admitting that the cop overdid it. But why can't we know what happened? They're like, those details aren't relevant. It's like, to me, they are. As someone who wants to know about this story, the details are definitely relevant. How did he end up on the ground? You know?
It's stunning. It's stunning. I mean, the one thing I will say, Maggie, is it does, when, you know, Tyreek Hill has the comment about, oh, well, you know, I wasn't disrespectful, I wasn't cursing. I think there's one thing that's important in these instances as well is police officers, like, if you're being disrespected or you're cursed at, that just still isn't a license to just throw somebody out of a car and pin them to the ground. We don't know exactly what happened, and we'll have body camera footage or whatever to figure that out. But to me, it is becoming also a little concerning and frustrating to me when I keep hearing people say, well, I didn't curse out the officer. Well, if you did, you still probably shouldn't have been pulled out of a car. Like, that's the basic line of these incidents always goes back to that. And look, we should be respecting police officers. We should be following orders. But the fact that if you don't, you find somebody that isn't as respectful or isn't, you know, going to be somebody who's going to say, oh, I love this police officer. Okay, like, maybe try to find a way to get this person along for their day. Tyreek Hill clearly wasn't, like, a threat. He wasn't going to fight anybody, or he's not a, you know, he didn't have any weapons or anything. That's the only thing about this incident that still bothers me, is that Tyreek Hill, you have to sit, come here and say, well, I wasn't disrespectful, I didn't curse.
Yeah.
Well, if he did, and maybe the cop did something that was wrong, and that's why he got upset, it still wasn't licensed to throw him on the ground with your knee in his back and handcuff him. You know what I'm saying? I just think that's the one thing that's so concerning about this.
Well, this is why I want to know what happened, you know? And I think, you know, if you're the cop, don't you want to tell your side of the story? I don't know if we're ever going to hear from this person. But again, 855-212-4227. The amount of things that happened yesterday before the games kicked off, I actually was keeping a little bit of a running list. The Tyreek Hill incident happened before the games kicked off. We found out Kendrick Lamar was going to be the halftime show. Dak Prescott signed the biggest contract in the history of the NFL. We found out that Justin Fields was going to be starting for Russell Wilson, even though Wilson came out in a full uniform, including pads, and warmed up when he was not going to play. We got a Jay Glazer report about Brandon Ayuk that said they were on the doorstep of trading him to the Steelers, and they basically gave Ayuk this ultimatum: you have until the end of practice today to either accept the deal we gave you 2 weeks ago, or we're going to trade you. And that was all just before the games kicked off. And I feel like I'm missing one. Oh, we found out that Jordan Love was going to be out from anywhere between 3 and 6 weeks with a knee injury that they suffered in Brazil.
That is a dodged bullet right there.
Oh, my goodness. This is all stuff that happened before the game. Well, that was Friday night in Brazil, which the field was horrific. It looked horrible.
Yeah. No, the stadium looked awesome, but the field was too slippery. Once again, Eagles playing on a slippery field. Sound reminiscent?
Yeah, well, you won this one. 855-212-4227. That's any consolation. Okay, see you guys on the phones. You want to talk about the Dolphins. Again, on Mondays, we're all about you. We're going to try to get to every game and every fan base. But if you have something you want to say about your team, give us a call at 855-212-4227. Furloff Football is here, and Prize Picks, our new obsession, is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. Season-long fantasy, it takes way too much time, but Prize Picks, you can pick a new lineup every day. When I say that you and I are obsessed with this, the first thing we say to each other every morning is, who's your Prize Picks today? Your Prize Picks today? And we are having a blast with this new app.
Yeah, I could have had more fun this weekend if they would just feed the ball to Travis Hunter. But no, it's so much fun. The app is really simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you can win up to 100 times your money. On Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect. And all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. If one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss. Just some of the many ways that Prize Picks puts its members first.
Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP for Maggie and Perloff, MANDP, and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, trying to dive deep into this Tyreek Hill situation. Crazy story before the game. He gets pulled over by a cop, police officer. Somehow this escalates to the point where Tyreek Hill's in handcuffs on the ground. His teammate Calais Campbell tries to come over and help. He ends up in handcuffs. The whole thing does get resolved before the game, and Tyreek Hill goes out there and has a 7-reception, 130-yard touchdown day, and Miami needed every bit of that because they had to come from behind to beat Jacksonville in what was a pretty sloppy game, actually, that came down to a Travis Etienne fumble, which really sealed it for Miami the other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big win for Miami. If they had lost that game, which they should have lost that game, I think things would feel dire for that team because, really, it's a health issue, too, and you got to take advantage. When you have a healthy Tua out there, yep, you got to win these games. We never know how long it's going to last.
Jason Sanders had to hit a 52-yarder for them to seal the deal. Gary is in Jacksonville, has a thought on the win. Gary, good morning.
Guys, good morning. Hope you had a good holiday. And as they say, Maggie, just win, baby.
Yeah, that's what Al Davis said.
I love the fact that, you know, I've said since Trevor was drafted, he doesn't have the it factor. And somehow, all these other assistants got fired in Jacksonville. But because Press Taylor is Doug Peterson's buddy, he avoided the wrath. Trevor hasn't gotten better under him. He's regressed under Press Taylor. And if that's not a red flag and that's not a statement on Press Taylor, I don't know what is. And, you know, Jacksonville had a 17-7 lead. The first two possessions of the second half, three and out, three and out.
Yeah.
You can pay Trevor all that money, but that doesn't change the fact that he has not improved as an NFL quarterback, and he's not an elite quarterback. And if he's not an elite quarterback by now, guys, how is he ever going to be an elite quarterback? This is year four. This is not his first or second year.
No, I understand it, Gary, and frustrating to be in Jacksonville. Yes, this was the second half for Jacksonville. Three and out, three and out. The Travis Etienne fumble that we mentioned. Turnover on downs, punt, punt.
Yeah, does an elite quarterback do that, guys?
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like there's a bigger problem here? And honestly, I go to the GM. Listen, Eagles fans hate Press Taylor because he was Carson Wentz's guy. But I think there's bigger problems. I don't go to Trevor Lawrence. It's funny. I thought he looked okay. Gary, am I crazy?
I thought he looked 160 yards in today's NFL is nothing great.
Yeah, but everybody had 160 yards this week. I mean, that was like the common box score. A lot of good quarterbacks didn't throw for a lot of yards. I came away putting that on Travis Etienne for that fumble. They win that game. They got conservative because they had a big lead.
I know, but
how about giving Jerron Holland some credit for a great defensive play? Though?
It was an amazing punch, no doubt about it. But still, you got to be really aware in that situation.
Gary,
but they still
I get
had
it.
The lead. Even after all that and the play after, they still had the lead, and Trevor Lawrence couldn't answer.
Here was Gary. Thank you.
Am I right or wrong, Maggie?
No, you're right. And Gary, I thank you for the call. So Jacksonville gets the ball with 4:22 left in the fourth quarter. You have a run up the middle with Bigsby for no gain. Then Lawrence is sacked for -4 yards, sacked for -6 yards. So now you're looking at a 4th and 20, and you get a delay of game penalty. They move them back even more, and you got to punt away. I mean, it's just when it's time with 4 minutes left to go in a tie game, yeah, that's when you need your elite quarterback to have a great drive and
take
it back-to-back sacks.
All that being said, it's 17-7 in third quarter, and your running back is down to the 1 yard line. Yep. If he punches that in, it's 24-7, and the game is, by all metrics, over.
I know, but they had two more drives after
that. Yeah, but their heart was broken after that. I hate to say it.
Their heart was broken.
That being said, they really should have won. So if they had won that game, would anybody be ripping Trevor Lawrence? Nobody threw for any yards this week. Like, I know he had 162 yards, but again, this was basically preseason week four.
Well, Tua threw for a ton of yards, but they
how many
had
did
20
Tua throw
points.
For?
Tua has a crazy line. Yeah, 350, Ryan's telling me in my ear.
338.
338. Close.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, how much of that was Tyreek Hill running on that one play?
A lot of it. Coop is in Oakland. Coop, you have a thought on the Tyreek Hill situation?
Yeah, I saw it, saw the tape like everyone else, and it's just not as uncommon as it seems to be being made, you know. It happens every day, and it's happened to me. I got stopped on a routine traffic stop going 10 miles over the limit and ended up in cuffs in the back of a police car as a black man.
Oh, sheesh.
And this would just happen to be caught on camera, and he's famous, so it made the news. But it's happening right now somewhere.
No, Coop, we're not head in the sand about this. We understand that this is a definite situation. I'm sorry that happened to you. I think what Perloff was saying is it's rare for a player near the stadium to get pulled over. I would say not get pulled over, but for it to escalate this, especially someone who's as famous as Tyreek Hill. Yes, we get that this happens every day in our country, but for like a player in the shadow of the stadium, this is bizarre.
Well, then the question to ask, Maggie, is how what would have to have happened for him to get that treatment? I guess that's the big question.
Well, that's what we want. I want to know. Coop, I want to know the details here. Thank you for the phone call. And not because of some morbid curiosity. I think because this is an issue in this country, and I think that people have been pulled over, wrongly so, get upset about this, and they understand it. And I think that cops who get unfairly painted as all cops are bad, I think, get upset about this. So that's why I want to know the details.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two issues here. There's definitely the racial component of what happened there. And put that to the side for a second, and let's talk about Scottie Scheffler. Like, I think history is not giving enough credit for how idiotic it was to the Louisville police to bring him down to the station. We saw on video what happened.
Yeah.
To bring him down to the station, make him change out of his golf clothes and put on an orange jumpsuit. Like there are certain situations where, like, the cops have to be aware of the PR. Like, that was insane, and my hunch is that this was way over the top. But, I don't know.
855-212-4227. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us this morning. What's up?
Well, whether you or me or Perloff, the Giants are headed for another or their first rebuild, and if they do need a coaching change down the road, there should be a huge name with a connection to the organization available. Reports yesterday said Bill Belichick definitely wants to coach next season, despite his blossoming media career. Bill will be picky, looking for the right situation with the right people. That might not be the Giants, but again, he helped the Giants win Super Bowls as Bill Parcells' defensive coordinator.
Wait, so now he can be picky?
Well, like, I gotta tell you, my immediate take was
Falcons said no, thank you. Yes.
Well, I was like, can my Eagles box out the Giants here to get Belichick? Because I know he's close to Howie Roseman as well. I mean, Belichick, one thing, he nailed that Caleb Williams was inaccurate. That was one of his big points from the 17 shows he's on the weekend.
I don't know which show he said it on, or podcast or social media, but he said it.
Oh, no, there is no doubt. There is going to be a five-team competition. There are a lot of teams that are going to want him.
I know. Guys, this shouldn't even be a headline. This isn't even news. Bill Belichick would rather coach than be in the media. No kidding.
I don't know if he wants a Giants, though, because he's a little older. Like, that's a full rebuild now. There might be a team on the brink of a Super Bowl that can compete. I know he has ties to the Giants, but I'm not sure that's a slam dunk.
And, as you know, there's some quarterbacks who are picking up some steam for the next draft, but that's not supposed to be a huge, great class. So it's not like you take the Giants with a number one pick, you take that job because they're sitting on the next Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, social media is putting Carson Beck in that ugly Giants uniform already. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, I think a team, that's a great question for Belichick. Do you want a team on the brink of a Super Bowl that needs a coach, or do you want a full rebuild?
Man, what a difference a year makes. He couldn't beat out Raheem Morris for the Falcons job last year. Other teams saying no thank you.
Well, the reality is Bill Belichick walks in your building and everyone's getting fired. That's why he didn't get the Atlanta job. People want to hold on to their jobs. But I think this year will be different because the Giants, there's no one to hold on to.
Right. So the Giants are celebrating 100 years in the NFL, and all the players and guys, coaches were back yesterday. Was Belichick there? I saw Parcells was there.
I didn't see Belichick.
I didn't see Belichick.
He couldn't have been there because that would have been somewhere. A picture of that would have been somewhere.
I'm kind of surprised because he does, you know, people say, oh, he's got, you know, six Super Bowls. And like, no, he has eight because he won two as the Giants defensive coordinator.
Wait, who was at the Giants? I mean, the red zone that I watched a lot of in the 1 o'clock hour, I completely ignored that game for the entire time. What? Who was at this Giants game?
Everybody. All the Giants legends. Lawrence Taylor, Phil Sims, Parcells.
They had a huge event on Friday, and everyone unveiled their top 100.
Above the stadium? I was wondering what was going on. Did you guys see the drone show they put on?
I did. It was really cool.
Now, who was watching that?
The people at the stadium.
People came Friday night to watch a celebration?
Yes.
Yikes.
What?
That is, I mean, I know the
You're
traffic.
You're telling me people
it.
In Philadelphia would not do that if you were doing 100 years of Eagles football? Is this that shocking to you?
It just feels
you
where
need a
the
second
Giants
night
are.
To fit in all those people.
They did a watch party for
it just
the
feels
game in Brazil.
Where the Giants are as an organization to have a Friday night celebration at that terrible stadium.
No, this is the only thing they can sell tickets for. Actually, something popped up on I got a pop-up that was like, hey, if you know, how to find cheap Giants tickets. I was like, let them play a few more games.
Wait, but
I'm going to have no problem getting into that stadium.
Friday night was free, right? They did not pay people to come see a drone show.
They might have paid people to come.
I mean,
yes.
Oh, no, sorry. They didn't make people pay. I assume that the fan celebration was free, right?
Maybe it was like for season ticket holders or something like that. I don't know the logistics. I mean, I would have never gone to it, but yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, people might have paid less than the normal ticket price to get in and see people be introduced and drones.
God, the Giants are going to own that 1 o'clock window. Man, they are not going to see.
It's like you haven't seen them. They've been playing at 1 o'clock. They're so bad.
No, but the broadcast networks tend to put the Giants in prime time.
The Giants and the Jets have been so bad that they finally, Fox and CBS, gave in and put them at the same 1 o'clock window. I spent the first 30 years of my life plus, there was a Giant game or a Jet game at one. The other team played at four because they wanted to split the New York audience, and they don't even do that anymore because they're both so bad.
Don't worry, we're still getting Giants Cowboys in primetime.
Jeez, they have a lot of primetime coming up, actually. They have Cowboys in
three weeks.
They got Seahawks in the 4:25 Fox window, and then the Bengals in primetime.
Oh, Giants at Pittsburgh. Ooh, who put that game on TV?
Is that a holiday game? When is that?
Do you consider October 28th to be a holiday?
No, I thought they played a game closer to Thanksgiving or like that was a primetime game. Mm-hmm. Not like the Thanksgiving game.
No, they're on Thanksgiving at the Giants.
I'll give you this. How about the Giants-Panthers overseas somewhere? That is going to be...
That's Germany, baby.
Germany.
Is that Germany?
Germany
yeah.
Game.
Oh, jeez. That's going to be
poor
bad.
Poor Germans.
We never send it. We always send the Germans out worse. Last year, they had to see Bailey Zappi throw one of the worst interceptions I ever seen.
But against Mahomes,
not a guy
right?
Like Daniel Jones.
Yeah, we sent him to Kansas City.
Oh, yeah. Well, we sent him to Kansas City, but then they had that... Remember that 9-6 Colts... Patriots game. I mean, that was one of the worst games I've seen in years.
This actually remember that Belichick was going to get fired. They were going to leave him in Germany.
Right. Yeah. They were going to leave him there. They were like, get ready to learn German, Bill Belichick.
Coach the Rhine fire.
All of a sudden, he's like, Guten Tag.
The Giants, by the way, lost yesterday 28-6. Daniel Jones was sacked six times. He threw two picks, one of which Andrew Van Ginkle returned for points, and then a guy waited around for Jones to leave the stadium to boo him directly to his face.
Guys, not a guy.
Meanwhile, a pick six was the difference.
Families.
In Chicago.
Let's go. Levis in trouble and throws an interception in the flat. It's being returned for a touchdown by the Chicago Bears. As he tried to throw it away, Levis pitched it forward. Stevenson caught it and raced into the end zone, and the Bears have the lead.
That throw is what mayonnaise cologne smells like, Mike Keith on Titans Radio. It was a backhanded flip towards the sideline while being sacked. Will Levis and the Titans literally giving away a 17-0 lead, losing in Chicago 24-17. Caleb Williams threw for just 93 yards, but is still the first QB taken number one overall to win his debut since David Carr in 2002. Only veteran QBs on Sunday Night Football. Jared Goff and the Lions blew a 17-3 lead on Matthew Stafford and the Rams, then won in overtime 26-20 on a one-yard run by David Montgomery. L.A. also losing Puka Nacua to a right knee issue in the first half. Notre Dame is now 18th in the AP College Football Poll after paying $1.4 million to lose to Northern Illinois in South Bend. And Caitlin Clark had 26 points and 12 assists. Aaliyah Boston scored a career-high 30 in the Fever's 104 104-100 OT win over the Dream. Atlanta led by 16 points shortly after halftime. Guys, back to you.
I know Pat Boyle's not here, our resident Notre Dame fan. Also, Stu Kovacs, big Notre Dame fan. But that was brutal.
It was, but how good is Northern Illinois?
I'm loving Northern Illinois.
How is that a G5 team? They looked awesome.
I think Notre Dame helped them out a little bit. You're right. They have veteran guys.
Yeah, they kept saying that they're all seniors and things. Like they stuck around. Poised. Stuck around. They should have won by more.
No, I'm saying like they stuck around at Northern Illinois.
Oh, Northern Illinois. Yeah, I mean that. A terrible loss for Notre Dame, but I was shocked how good that team they went up against was.
And how likable was their coach? Yeah.
My favorite thing about Northern Illinois is that the head coach was like, just give me all of the Wisconsin offensive linemen. Like, literally, their entire offensive line is from Wisconsin. They kept talking about it the whole game. It's like he watched Wisconsin during the Brett Bielema days and said, hey, I want that. So he just lived in Wisconsin for 2 or 3 years to find 5 offensive linemen. And suddenly, they're, like, moving Notre Dame like they're some, like, FCS school. That was the funniest thing to me. I'm like, I hear you, man. Just go out there, get those big boys from Wisconsin. And maybe they should send them back to Wisconsin because they've had some rough years. But that was my favorite thing. That whole Wisconsin line was what did in Notre Dame yesterday or a couple days ago.
I mean, this guy, Thomas Hammack, instantly just one of the most likable people in college football.
Totally.
Can we hear a little of the emotional post-game speech after Northern Illinois upset Notre Dame?
Listen, what you can do with the power of belief and working together and just staying through it, through thick and thin. That's what we are. That's a team. That's a family. That's guys that want it. I told you all week, we did not need luck. We did not need luck.
And now he's the new head coach of Florida. I'm just kidding. I mean. Screw you, family.
Yeah.
I'm out. No, it was really amazing.
I'll text you from the plane.
They had been through a lot. I think they went winless during the COVID year. Like, they had all these things. They had never beaten an opponent who was ranked this high before. And we were talking about Notre Dame, Pearl, after they go down to Texas A&M and beat the Aggies. Like, could this be the best defense in the country? And everyone's feeling themselves at Notre Dame. And then to lay an egg like this, I get why people are still a little unsure about Marcus Freeman. I mean, didn't they lose to, was it Tulsa last year?
Well, and they lost a similar thing to Marshall. Two years ago. They paid them $1.2 million and Marshall won there. And the defense, I mean, offensive line from Northern Illinois aside, was it 14-13 was the final or 16-14? Like, that's enough defense to win that game.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard's supposed to be in there, you know, fueling this offense, and they couldn't do anything against that kind of defense.
He was not good.
No. Not even a little bit.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be talking about the defense as much as the offense and Riley Leonard. I thought he did well against A&M. He's running all around, using his legs.
But that's the thing about Riley Leonard. I mean, we talked about him as a potential NFL quarterback, and one of the reasons I didn't have Notre Dame in the college football playoff this year is because even at Duke, he just isn't that kind of thrower. And I thought Chris Sims had a very poignant point during the postgame where he's like, they got to stop playing like this is, you know, Bill Walsh and Joe Montana running the West Coast offense. Like, Riley Leonard is at his best when he's a dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, he is – I know they want to promote him as an NFL quarterback. He is a dual-threat guy. If they try to just drop back and throw 30 times, they're not going to win a lot of games.
And the question is, are they going to get into the college football playoff? I mean, if they beat USC at the end of the year, then that will probably be a good enough win to get them in. But that's the one thing about the 12-team. It's like, it's going to be so much about brand. And I know that it was a lot about brand even for the 4-team playoff. And I get that. You want the most watchable product. But Notre Dame's going to have to be getting by on the size of the fan base. Because
they just lost to Northern Illinois, and you're talking about getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, if they win out, they're going to get in.
I know, but it's funny. Like, if you can't beat Northern Illinois, how are you going to beat all these other teams? I just feel like
you think they're going to lose to Purdue?
Well, I mean, they could easily lose. If you could lose to Northern Illinois, you could lose to a lot of the teams on here.
Lose to USC. USC, how high could they be ranked at that point?
I mean,
if USC somehow beats Ohio State, I mean,
well, that's the problem, though, about Notre Dame's schedule is that they don't have a lot of ways to show that they're good. So my thing is, if you lose to USC, maybe you're 10-2, but you have wins against who? Florida State? That's not going to do anything for you. Like, I think you look at a 10-2 Notre Dame team and said, you lost to Northern Illinois, and then you got blown out by USC. You're clearly not a playoff team.
Well, I mean,
we'll see if the brand comes into play, but I don't know if just winning out and only one more game gets them into the playoff.
I think you just need to win your next game. I wouldn't even talk about playoff if I was a Notre Dame fan. I understand what you guys are saying. They obviously could run the table, but you could lose to anybody if you could lose this game at home.
How are you feeling about Notre Dame? We know we're on in South Bend. We know we have a lot of Notre Dame fans in our audience, 855-212-4227. And how are you feeling about Marcus Freeman, who's had some of these hiccup losses that just seem really uncharacteristic? Perloff has an announcement.
Yep.
He won't say what it is. He won't tell us even behind the scenes. I have no idea. EJ, you don't know.
I have no idea, which terrifies me as an executive producer, I'm just saying.
Bogish, I'm assuming you have no clue.
How would I? We don't hang out or talk or anything.
Gee, Bogish.
Nick, Ryan. I don't think anyone
Maybe
knows.
Nick knows.
Yeah. He told me during the break.
He texted you last night.
It's a doozy.
Perloff's got an announcement, so he's got the floor next. 855-212-4227 if you want to talk about Notre Dame.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I want to make this sort of a formal segment because it's important. It's serious. It kind of was on my mind all weekend, and I want to make a statement, if that's okay with you, Maggie.
Wow, I'm just going to lay out here. Yeah. You said you wanted to, you needed the floor. You won't tell us what's going on. You just, you said last night, EJ, block off a segment because I have to make a formal statement, like a press conference. Like, yes. Did you get arrested over the weekend or something?
No, nothing like that.
Okay.
I'm just going to dive in. Okay. I have it scripted, so forgive me if I have to look down.
I don't believe any of this.
I, Andrew James Perloff, would like to officially apologize to Maggie Gray.
What?
I would say Margaret to make it more formal, but that's not your name. You're just a Maggie. On August 27th, you made a statement that I openly mocked, that Cam Jurgens would be one of the top five most impactful non-quarterbacks in the National Football League. More valuable than Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, and Justin Jefferson. I said, what, are you crazy? I laughed. EJ laughed too, by the way. He's in this. America laughed. There was a poll result that was 97% said you were off your rocker. We all had a good chuckle. Fast forward to Sao Paulo, Brazil. Friday night. Once again, my Eagles have to play on a slippery field. The NFL decided costing them a Super Bowl in Arizona wasn't enough after Philly fans were mean to Roger Goodell during the draft, but that's not what this is about. You were right. I was wrong. I thought that 2 years watching the best NFL center in Eagles history would teach you a thing or two about the position. I guess not, Cam Jurgens. No leverage on the tush push, snapping at random times, generally not being able to organize the offense. Maggie, you were right. I was wrong. Maybe next time, when you act like the sky is falling, even though the Bills win, or question how hard it is to play offensive line, I will not scoff. I will not laugh. I will not tag Pat McAfee on social media so he can come after you. I will listen respectfully. So, Maggie, I think I speak for Eagles Nation, for everyone here, Ryan, Nick, EJ, Bogush, Odyssey Management, I sincerely apologize. I'd also kind of like to apologize for scoffing at your statement how bad it was for the Packers to sign Malik Willis right before the season.
Thank you.
But honestly, I think you owe the Packers fan base an apology for jinxing the team. So you might want to make a formal announcement now to them.
Wait a minute. Hold on. First of all, I accept. I was almost laughed out of the studio when I had Cam Jurgens as my fifth most important non-quarterback going into the season. And you're like, Cam Jurgens, you can just put anybody to play center. I'm like, all right. The tush push is your secret weapon, and he was snapping the ball God knows where. I thought Jason Kelce was going to trot out of the field. If they had gotten him, if they could have gotten him to Brazil in time, he would have subbed in for Cam Jurgens.
That was a mess. It wasn't just a, first of all, the tush push didn't work. The officials are out for it. Like, there was one where he was like landed about a foot over the line. They're like, nah, didn't make it. Like the NFL, and they changed the rule so the guys who are doing the tush push can't stand right behind them. They hate the tush push and they're after it.
Okay,
big
so
time.
Just QB sneak like the rest of the other 31 teams.
Yeah, but then the QB sneak. I saw Justin Fields did a QB sneak and they weren't pushing him from behind, and it didn't work.
Didn't get it. And so that was the first I told you so of Friday. And the second I told you so was I was called an alarmist because I merely pointed out the fact that to have signed Malik Willis about 2.5 weeks before the season starts, when he has zero career starts, to come in and just be the backup for Jordan Love. I said, you know what? I'm a little surprised by that. And you guys are like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And meanwhile, well, last play of the game, second to last play of the game, third to last play, whatever. Thank you. Jordan Love.
We'll get there.
Twists his knee. He's going to miss anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. And hopefully it's just that amount of time.
First of all, Malik Willis has 3 starts. I just want to point that out.
Well, I wish
former
he had
Liberty
zero
star.
Because they all sucked.
I think we all thought, well, if Jordan Love gets hurt, the season's over anyway. The odds of it being this weird limbo where he's coming back in 6 weeks with a knee injury, I did not see that coming. But and there is generally a feel like, I don't know, can they hold on until he gets back? Malik Willis, I'll tell you right now, he didn't let it go on the Hail Mary. He's just going to run. He's just going to run,
well,
run, run.
When everyone knows you're just run, run, running, it gets a little harder. And by the way, Noah Eagle, even on the broadcast, says he just got here. He's still learning the playbook. I'm like, thank you. I don't know Packers fans an apology. I never jinxed them. I never said I wanted this to happen. I merely pointed it out and was called an alarmist.
Yes. Yes. No, we apologize. But okay. Actually,
and
you
kind of
jinxed
them. Now I will say, ring the alarm, Packer fans. You're in trouble.
This is trouble time.
Well, you know what?
Both of the Packers going to the Super Bowl.
Peter Schrager, NFL Network, who always gets Super Bowl right, said don't panic. And he seems to be a seer when it comes to this. Can we talk about one thing? And I haven't mentioned them once this whole show. That is a miracle that the Eagles won that game because they looked like hot garbage for 90% of it, except for Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley looked really good.
But they were disorganized. Cam Jurgens was snapping it to who knows where. Their defense can't tackle a single person. Somehow they won. I have no idea how.
I accept.
Thank you.
Your apologies. And it takes a big man to apologize.
I had no choice.
You really didn't. It was that bad. And I did point it out on social media several times. I basically shamed you into it. Lots to do, including our NFL in 60 segment. Every game we break down in a minute.